I'll give you extra time to find those Old Testament books of Jonah. I'll make it easy for you. It's right after Obadiah. Oh, my goodness. We'll take a look at several things here this morning. It's good to be here. I'm in from California where we're not having all this snow. So I've kind of forgotten about this. I grew up in snow, but I kind of forgot what it's like. You guys are having a little bit of time staying out of, you're a little out of control. You're supposed to be done with all this by now. It's nearly March, and you're still having snow everywhere. Book of Jonah. Jonah has got to be one of the people in the Old Testament who is just a little bit on the crazy side. I mean, just an absolute crazy, crazy fellow. We're not going to spend our whole time in Jonah. We're going to start here, and a little bit later, we're going to turn to another spot. But I need to introduce to you this morning about the cantankerous Jonah. What a cantankerous prophet. He is just, he's the kind of person that probably got kicked out of junior high. I mean, he was just a bad person. He was very unusual. And yet, by the time we're done this morning, I think we can put our finger on a lot of the issues. Like you say, well, I have this, my son has a problem. You know, he won't obey, or my daughter has a problem, she's into bad music, or I have a problem. I think by the time we're done today, we can put our finger pretty much on what our problems are by taking a look here at the book of Jonah. Now, this is very interesting. You know very well, I don't need to teach you the story of Jonah and the whale. But I want you to look at a couple of things that happen when Jonah gets started. If you see here, in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now let's talk, what in the world was going on? I'm telling you right now, if you want to go over to the Middle East right now and you want to look for Nineveh, you'll basically be finding desert sands. It's buried under the desert. Nobody. But back in the day, Nineveh was the place to be. Nineveh was the world capital. It was very powerful. It was like the Washington, D.C. of its time. And it kind of reminds us that everything that it is now is not always going to be that way forever. And it was a great seat of power, and the Ninevites were known not only to be a world power, but they were known to be cruel. They were a very cruel people. They didn't just like, you know, go by the Geneva Accords, you know, capture you very gentlemanlike and everything. I mean, they were just cruel. They chopped people up and they did all kinds of mean stuff. And God says to Jonah, I want you to travel a few hundred miles and go over to Nineveh, and I want you to preach there. And Jonah says to the Lord, now let me get this right. You want me to travel a few hundred miles over to Nineveh? Okay, how about if I go 2,000 miles the opposite direction and go to Spain? I really don't want to go to Nineveh. I mean, and the Lord says, no, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, right, I got it. I'm going down to Joppa. I'm going to catch me a boat there. And I'm headed across the Mediterranean. I'm going to Spain as fast as I can get there. Well, how would you feel if you were the Lord and you got this prophet? He goes, okay, he's doing the exact opposite of what I tell him to do. Well, you know, you can play games a little bit if you want to. I don't recommend it. You can play games a little bit, Pastor John here, the youth director. And he might let you get away with it. You might play a few games with Pastor Zawadzki here. But I don't recommend you play games with the Lord, because he just has unlimited power and he can just kind of turn things around. And lo and behold, the storm comes up. Jonah's swallowed by the whale by the time it's all done. I like what the Bible says here in verse 10 of chapter 2. After Jonah's in that belly of the fish, and I like the verse up there that says he's wrapped in... In verse 5 of chapter 2, I love that verse. The weeds were wrapped around about my head. You know, this prophet was seaweed around. He was original sushi. And then down by the verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I mean, here's a prophet. that becomes vomit. And he's vomited out. And so after he gets vomited out, he kind of changes his mind and said, okay, Lord, I guess if you're going to do that, if that's what you're going to do, I suppose I can go to Nineveh if that's what I have to do. So he goes over there. Now, did Jonah even want to go to Nineveh? No. The Israelites hated the Assyrians. They had no love between them. They just didn't get along. And Jonah, he says, Lord, the only reason I'm going here is because if I try to go to Spain, you're going to make sure I get back over the other direction. And, well, he goes, and wouldn't you know it, he preaches in Nineveh. And here, this prophet, with a really bad attitude, he's preaching. And the people are just repenting left and right. Right. I mean, the city, you can read it here if you want to read the whole book of Jonah. The king gets word about this revival. I wouldn't be surprised if they heard ahead of time, hey, you better listen to this guy. He's the one that came up out of the whale. I don't know what came out of it. They said, we're not only putting sackcloth and ashes on ourselves, we're putting sackcloth on the animals. We are serious about this. And so they all repent. Now, this is what's really amazing about all of this. In chapter 3 and verse 10, we see, and God saw their works, this is the people of Nineveh, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So what happens here? God was going to destroy them? God said, okay, I'm not going to destroy. And the Bible is 100% clear. It says, I'm not going to destroy you. Look at the next verse, chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Why is Jonah ticked off? Jonah is ticked off. He is very angry. Because God spared the people. Here you've got an evangelist. He comes through. He preaches. Everybody repents. God says, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to destroy him. And Jonah goes, I am very mad about this. I was hoping these people would get... I hate these people. Well, go a little further. Verse 2. And he prayed. Jonah prayed unto the Lord. This is the most hilarious prayer. And said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. What is Jonah saying here? Jonah's saying, Lord, that's why I didn't want to come here in the first place. I knew you were going to be good to these people, and I hate these people. I'm ticked off. Lord, that's why I didn't want to come. I knew you were gracious. I knew so. And Lord, here you are. And Jonah, if you read the rest of Jonah, he gets out on the side of the city. He says, Lord, I'm just hoping that you'll change your mind and destroy it. Now, brother, can you imagine that kind of a pastor? Can you imagine that kind of an evangelist? That, man, I came to Loomis Park Baptist Church. There were 400 people in the service that were unsaved. Every one of them got saved, and I said, I'm mad about it, because I was hoping these people would have to die and go to hell. I mean, that's what Jonah, he said, I mean, it's like, Lord, how come you let these people get, and he is just ticked off. And he said, Lord, I wanted to go to Spain instead of here, because I knew you'd try to help these people. Well, I don't know how sincere Jonah was. I'm not really sure if I were living back then that I'd be all excited about going to the First Baptist Church of Jonah. This was not a real nice kind of a preacher. Now, turn with me, if you will, with that backdrop. Turn to the book of Matthew, if you would. Into the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Oh, Jonah, he was in that belly of that whale for 3 days and 3 nights and came out. He still didn't like the people of Nineveh. If you're in Matthew 12, give me just a minute and change gears here. Now, in the New Testament days, you've got a lot of people in the time of Jesus, and you still have some people with some really bad attitudes. Okay? And it seems like some of the people that have the worst attitudes were the people that were associated with the church, or actually the temple. Thus, some of those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, they were all religious on the outside, but they were absolute disasters on the inside. I mean, they sort of look, you know, they looked as religious as the Pope and acted as religious as Al Capone. I mean, they were just a bad group of people. And when you read the Gospels, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, one of the things you just keep finding as these Pharisees and lawyers and scribes, they just try to, they continuously try to get Jesus in trouble. They try, can we get him to say something? Can we trap him in his words? Now you gotta understand, that's gotta be really frustrating. When you try to trap the person who created you and created the human mind and created speech, you're not gonna trap God. And I don't even know how sophisticated you are, you're never gonna get God. And gotcha! And they kept trying, and they were just trying their best. And it says here in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 38, here come these people, and they are just a big pain. Verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And it kind of sounds like they're being religious. You know, they come and they kind of bow a little bit and say, you know, Master, you know, we just kind of wonder if you would show us a sign. You know, have you ever seen just syrupy people that just drive you nuts? You know, they're so fake. I mean, I think they're made out of recycled plastic. You know, there's some people and they come and these people, they all mad and say, we just want a sign. Now hold on for just a minute. Jesus has just been going all around, healing people, doing miracles, feeding. I mean, he's just a miracle working God. And none of that counts. Now they just wonder, could we see a sign from you, please? Jesus answers them, my goodness. But he answered and said unto them, now would you watch the words of Christ here? He says, an evil, an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now hold on. Can we put that in plain English? Can we unpack that just a second? Here come all these religious people. And they are just, you know, they got their Sunday best on. I mean, they say, Master, we're so religious and we're so good. We just want a sign from you. And Jesus says, you know what kind of people are looking for a sign? Like basically a bunch of adulterers. That's the kind of people that are looking for a sign. He says, the kind of people that are looking for a sign, that would be evil people. And it's like, you know, here they are all syrupy and sweet, you know. I don't recommend that we talk that way right now. If somebody comes in, Pastor, can you help me out? So you know the kind of people that want help, adulterous and evil people. I mean, you got to be careful here. But I mean, Jesus just called them out. And he said, you are an adulterous and an evil people, and that's why you're looking for a sign. And then Jesus said, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And Jesus said, and these people, oh, can you give us a sign? Can you bring fire down from heaven? Or can you make the snow go away in Michigan? What kind of a sign can you give us? And Jesus said, nothing. He said, I'll give you the sign of the prophet. Now what he was talking about was 3 days and three, he would rise from the dead. And he said, you guys are evil and you guys are adulterous and you guys are fake to the core. But look at the next verse. What a powerful verse. He says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, greater than Jonah is here. Now let's just think about that for a second. He says to them, you know, when it comes to the end, the men who lived in Nineveh, they're going to rise up against you scribes, against you Pharisees, and they are going to testify against you. And what will they be able to say? The men of Nineveh are going to be able to say, let me tell you. They're going to say, look, we had a preacher who came to us who didn't even want to come to us. We had a preacher who came to us that when we repented and we did the right thing, he was angry with us. We had a preacher who wanted us to go to hell. We had a preacher that was so bad that God had to send a whale to eat him up and vomit him back out because he refused to come our way. Now, what kind of preacher is that? And they said, when we had that kind of a preacher, we even repented. I mean, we had a preacher. He didn't like us. He didn't like our country. He was rebellious against the Lord. When God had mercy on us, he was mad. That's the kind of Yahoo we had. And when he preached, we repented. And they're going to say, and you guys got Jesus Christ himself. And you wouldn't repent with Jesus Christ there. That's what Jesus said is going to happen this last day. He said, the men of Nineveh are going to say, look, we had a two-bit, low-class, rebellious, cantankerous, evil little prophet came. We did the right thing. You guys got the Son of God, and you're trying to run him out of town. And what this unpacks for us, it takes away the excuses. It takes away the excuses. You say, well, Dr. Zachary, I'm here in Loomis Park Baptist Church, and I tell you, if I just were in a bigger church, you know, if I were just in a larger church, then I think I'd repent. No. Some people say, well, you know, we got a nice pastor and all, and his wife is there, you know, they're okay, but if I just had a pastor who was like, you know, 55, I want someone a little older. If I just had someone who was more experienced, maybe someone just a little older than this man. He's kind of youthful, and I really can't. If I just had an older pastor, then I think, then I'd get right with God. You know, some people say, well, here I am in Loomis Park Baptist Church. You know, if the church were a little bigger, if the pastor were a little older, if the youth pastor were just a little more normal, you know, if we just had something like that, you know, if he said, you know, I mean, he's just so energetic, you know, this kind of a deal, you know, and we just, you know, we don't like all this energy. I want to be real respectful. I want to be real respectful. You have a good youth pastor here. You have a good pastor here. You have a great church here. But let's just say you did not have a good youth pastor. Let's say you had a perfect one. Let's say he was sinlessly perfect. And let's say you didn't have a great pastor like you have now. Let's say your pastor was sinlessly perfect. And let's say you didn't have this nice church facility. Let's say you had a perfect building. You still would have problems with rebellion in your heart if you chose to, Because the rebellion that we have in our heart is not because of what's around us. It's because of what's inside of us. I mean, are you all Baptists here? It seems to me that we believe, and the Bible proclaims, that Jesus Christ was completely perfect. That He was sinless. That He was flawless. And when He was here in the flesh, they still said, that's not good enough for me. I want a sign. Well, what do you have? You have the sinless Son of God already. What do you need a sign for? And it's just this great reminder to us that it's not about our circumstances. It's about our heart. And some people say, well, I'll tell you what, if somebody could prove to me for sure, if somebody would give me a sign that rock music is bad, then I'd quit listening to it. No. No, these people, Jesus Christ were there and they still wouldn't give up their sin. Somebody says, if you could just prove to me, if you could prove it to me that watching pornography online is bad, then I'd give it up. No, no, it's not somebody needs to prove it to you. See, if you could just prove it to me from the scripture that we're supposed to tithe to the church, if somebody could just, look, it comes down to the fact that sometimes when we see here in the scripture, when Jesus Christ Himself was here, people were still saying, we don't want to obey. We still don't want to do that. Jesus says, look here. I read it again, verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Because the men of Nineveh, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He says, the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, that they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. Jesus gives this example. You got a man who's demon possessed. He's got a demon. Boy, I'm glad that I can't be demon possessed. That would be a horrible thing. I just can't imagine. Guy's got a demon in him. Demon leaves him. Bless God. What a great thing to have a demon. And so, but what does the man do? The demon was in him, and now the demon's out of him. The man still won't turn to God. He still won't do what's right. He still won't do whatever. And he goes on his way. And the demon comes back. And look at this guy. I used to live in him. He's still got nothing. He says, you know what? I'll bring seven of my friends along with me. We won't just have one demon in him. We'll have a whole bunch of them in him. And so now the man had one demon. Now Jesus said, that's sort of like this generation. Now hold on. Please don't get me confused here. If you're a Christian, I am not telling you that you're going to be demon possessed. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying this. It seems that there's some people and they sometimes let go of that demon of stubbornness. They sometimes let that go. And they just keep going their own way, and they still kind of want to do their own thing. They still want to be a little bit cantankerous with everybody. And finally, it seems like they wind up in worse condition than before because they didn't get into the things of the Lord. And what Jesus is saying here, he's making it as plain as he possibly can make it. Hey, Adam! Hey, Eve! Why'd you sin? Oh, because the Garden of Eden wasn't perfect. No, it was perfect. They sinned because of what was in their heart. Hey, Pharisees! Hey, Sadducees! Hey, you all! Why did you sin? We sinned because all we had was Jesus. No, hold on. He was perfect. He was completely perfect. Oh, well, I guess, sir, then I guess the real reason is we sinned just because we wanted to. Yes, we just chose to. And I still, I don't mean to laugh. Pastor, I'm not trying to laugh at the prophet Jonah. But I still kind of laugh when I think, here's this guy, he's doing his own thing. He's going to Spain instead of Nineveh. He's running the opposite direction. He winds up in the whale's belly with seaweed wrapped around his head. He's vomiting on the shore. He goes, he preaches. He's ticked off the people when they finally repent. He still hopes that God would judge the Assyrians. And those men will be able to say, that's the kind of pastor we had. And we still repented. Now, you have your pastor here. I've had the pleasure of meeting him and spending a lot of time with him these last few days. I'm sure that your pastor would never say, I'm a perfect pastor. But I'll tell you what, when God called him here, he didn't run to Spain. God didn't have to gobble him up in a whale's belly to get him here, vomit him out in Jackson so he could finally do where God told him to go. All I've ever heard your pastor say since I've been here is how good these people are and how glad he is when God blesses them. Can you imagine if you tell me, man, the people in my church are blessed and it makes me upset. I'm just hoping God will strike him dead. I mean, you know, he doesn't do that. He's just, these are good people and God's blessing them. I'm thankful for it. So whatever sin's left over, not his fault. It's not Jesus' fault. He's perfect. It's just sometimes we have to say, I guess it's my fault. I was 15 years old. I hate to say it. I'm embarrassed to say this. I was 15 years old. And sometimes when I went to bed at night, Pastor, I'm embarrassed. I don't know if I should say this. But sometimes when I went to bed at night when I was 15 years old, I would think things I shouldn't think. I would just think things I shouldn't think. Going to sleep. And I remember thinking at that time, I wonder why these thoughts just come and attack me. Then one night I was going to bed, and I realized I wasn't a victim. These thoughts weren't just coming to attack me. I was kind of hoping they'd come. And I realized I'm thinking wrong because I chose to. I picked it. I decided I want to think wrong right now. And boy, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm not a victim of society. I'm not a victim of imperfect parents. I'm not a victim of an imperfect church. I'm just a person who's chosen to do the wrong thing because I chose to do the wrong thing. And I can't hide behind it. Well, if my pastor were just perfect. Well, if my church were just... No. My parents were fine. My pastor was fine. My church was just fine. I just chose that. And that's exactly where these Pharisees were and where the Sadducees were. They were in a position where they were looking straight into the eyes of the Son of God. And he was walking in their midst and they were seeing his miracles. But they said, I refuse. I refuse to obey. I refuse to submit. And Jesus is saying, look guys, the men of Nineveh repented and all they had was Jonah. And I think that Jesus was showing great humility when he said, a greater than Jonah. I mean, to say that you're greater than Jonah, I mean, I think most anybody's greater than Jonah. And Jesus is the perfect person, the perfect God-man. And a greater than, you have no excuses. No excuses. And I don't always like that, Pastor. I don't always like that idea that I am personally responsible for my decisions. I can't blame my buddy. I can't blame my mom. I can't say, well, you know, in my case, you know, my mom was divorced when I was a little kid. And so if I had had a perfect home, no, I can't blame somebody else. Because we have this example in the Old Testament. The people of Nineveh repented even with that crazy Jonah as their preacher. And so there are zero excuses. It's just a matter where we come to the Lord and we have to say, Lord, would you look inside my heart? Lord, would you clean up my heart? Lord, I just come to you and I bow the knee. And I can't say, well, Lord, I'd walk down the altar sometime and I'd pray and repent, but, you know, they don't always have the carpet vacuumed just right. And so it's the carpet's fault. Lord, I'd come down here and I'd repent, but, you know, it's just this town of Jackson. These people are bothering me. And Lord, I'd come down here and I'd repent, but Pastor, you know, he's just, and the Lord's just saying, look, quit looking around. It's just on the inside. Have you ever seen old people? Old people are great. When you're young and good looking like these guys in the front, yeah, they're all great, you know. When they get about my age, you know, they start looking, you know, eh. When they get really old, there's no more hiding it anymore. When they get really old, they're either really grumpy or they're really happy. And there's some of them who've just decided, hey, no matter what life has brought my way, I'm going to be a happy camper. And the person right next to them live in the same town and the same age, and they're mad at everybody. You say, what's the difference between these two? They both live in the same town. But one of them decided, I'm going to have a soft heart. And one of them said, I'm going to have a hard heart. And after about 50, 60 years, one of them, you know, they look like they're 172 years old, but they had that sweet smile. One of them looks like they're 172 years old and looks like the hammer and sickle's about to come down if you go see them and they're going to attack you. What's the difference? What's on the inside? It's not the circumstances on the outside that make us sweet. What makes us sweet is what's in our heart. And after all, Jonah, God calls him to go to Nineveh. He goes to Spain. God says, do this. God puts him in the whale's belly. God says, go preach in Nineveh. Jonah finally, grudgingly, goes and preaches in Nineveh. The people of Nineveh repent. Jonah says, Lord, it makes me angry. That's why I told you I didn't want to come here in the first place. I knew these people would repent. I didn't want that to happen. I hate them. And God said to the scribes, the Pharisees, to the religious people who were hard-hearted, he said in Matthew 12 and verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And so the point of this Sunday school lesson is, let's just look inside. Let's look at our heart. And let's take away the excuses. I can't say it's his fault. I can't say it's his fault. I can't say it's their fault. It's the church's fault. No. If I am doing the wrong thing, it's my fault. Just nobody else, it's my fault. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your